CliffCentral.com.
Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
Ooh, welcome to the Fashion Lab show, and thank you for tuning in. This is like literally our 50th week of this year. My name is Liz Ogumba Regisford, your host, and on today's show, we're going to be just talking and sharing some of our highlights throughout the industry this year. Now, it's been a long, like I said, 50 weeks so far, with 2 more weeks left. Yeah, I think 2 more weeks left. But, you know, for me, to be honest with you, I think it's been a beautiful year for me. I hope that it has been even better for most of you who are tuned in. Now, I believe that this is the month where reflection is key. I think you need to sit down, look through what you've been able to achieve, celebrate every moment of it, and then obviously also look through what you'd like to achieve next year. And don't drink too much wine. You might just miss the memo, you know? Yes. Life is not promised, but since we made it to this day, we might as well plan and pray that all we dream of and envision can come to pass. Now, before I get on each individual's journey who will be sharing with us, and I mean my squad right here in the studio, we want to share some of the highlights that we've also experienced individually and also generally on behalf of the industry. Now, I want to introduce our special guests, and our special guest today will be our very own. We are joined by Morag Stein, who's our internationally accredited beauty consultant and makeup artist. She is not just going to be glamming up the show today. Today we want to just honestly focus on just conversations all through the show, because we just want to share some of our highlights, what we've really enjoyed throughout this year. Morag, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And what are you wearing, madam?
I'm wearing a beautiful tasseled, of course tasseled, I must just add on to that, a beautiful camel tasseled top, just very easy, it's a nice light chiffon, it's boiling hot here in Joburg, as always this time of the year, and just a super nice, like a light skinny denim jean with some sandals.
Wow, that is creativity to its best, and I will tell you, my lovely listeners, why that is creativity. Now, I would love to also welcome to the show our New York contributor, Edgy Benson, with his Echoes from New York. Edgy runs a new New York fashion services company, which is based in New York, sourcing services to fashion houses and fashion designers. Welcome again to the show, Edgy.
Thank you, Liz. How are you?
We are fine, thank you. And from our last week's promise, what are you wearing today, and what's inspiring the look?
Today I am wearing, just like I promised you, I'm not wearing jeans. I am wearing a pair of jog pants, men's. Well, you might call them jeans. I probably can't escape from jeans, but they are jog jeans. And an overcoat. But, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
It's cold in New York.
Yeah, but we are just happy to know that you're not wearing jeans, so it's great to know that you are.
And Liz, what are you wearing today?
Today I am wearing a beautiful all-white two-piece sort of ensemble. So this ensemble is very rare. You hardly see me wear these, but I just wanted to feel fresh and white. And I wanted something nice, sophisticated, simple, but still very comfortable, because I'm going somewhere after this. I'll tell you where I'm going. Anyway,
right.
And then just a quick reminder for those of you who are tuned in. My favorite segment at the end of our show is called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? So feel free to share with us your who's and your why's. That is our glass of wine. Keep your tweets coming at Fashion Lab AF. Share with us your thoughts around some of your African fashion industry highlights this year, or whatever it is that you really are burning to share about something that really went well within your fashion space this year. I would now like us to go straight to the matters at hand. And I mean, through this year, we've had the opportunity to talk about a lot of different elements that affect our day-to-day fashion business runnings. And I want to just have this conversation with my two friends in studio today and just really like talk about some of the highlights this year. I'm going to go straight into Edgy, or we could start with Morag, but just let's talk. I mean, we spoke about, I'm just going to do a quick run. We did a few really key essential topics for me. I'm not saying there's a week that there's really a bad topic. I think everything relates mm-hmm. to us. At the end of the day, Echo Fashion was very cool. We had Luna in studio earlier this year with Dominique Lagrange talking Echo Fashion. One of my favorite topics this year was fashion etiquette, which also was very cool, because we had entrepreneur and etiquette coach over 12 years experience of protocol and etiquette, Tidimalo Kobani. We also had Jacqueline Whitmore. Then we touched on fashion branding as well as we went down. I mean, speaking to Timothy Maurice, and obviously we all know Tim and how he goes down. I mean, talking Unbranded, host of Unbranded, who was just also really bringing in that spiel and really opening up our minds around fashion branding and how we can make it even more effective when it comes to our businesses. Then we had Managing Stress. Oh my gosh, someone please get me that book or something, because this is that time of the year. Sitting down with Bridget Edwards, her book Stress Gone, talking about how even the fabric that we wear can contribute to our stress levels. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah, I must just add in, you know, I mean, I'm sure some of you know that I do these meditation courses once a week, or I attend them. I don't host them. And it's so interesting what the teacher was saying is that, you know, fabric carries memory as well. So from when it's, say, the cotton is sewn and weaved and, you know, however it's produced, you know, sometimes the people doing this, they don't have the best lifestyles, and then you'll get like whoever, Versace or, you know, whatever, using the fabrics, or Liz, you using the fabrics, and the fabric holds memory. So it's very important that the way that you sell your clothes, you know, you actually, I know it sounds crazy, but you're actually selling it with love, and it's almost like you speak to your garments. And I know you do, Liz, you know, you put that energy into your garments, and that's how, you know, and I'm a strong believer in it, that if you really do that with your garments, you will sell them, because they're not holding all this negativity. So yes, absolutely.
Wow. The stress gone for me was that fabric options like linen expose you to less stress. That was very, very unbelievable, but it is the reality.
Yeah.
And then, so sometimes what I also realize, like, especially this time of the year, now we are talking highlights, and it's only now that I'm thinking, gosh, I should have actually put on some linen and just come in here looking creased up, but, you know, but feeling stress-free and feeling free. So I think that stress topic was crucial, because I think the industry generally and the way that we hustle is already can come and really take a toll on us. So what we wear and how breathable it is can also, you know, contribute to how we actually manage our stress levels.
Absolutely.
You guys also remember we spoke and touched on fashion media with Shreba Media.
Yes.
And I think that it was also very cool, because fashion media, for me, what I also realized was that it's something very important. And I think as Africa, we need to be able to find ways to leverage that more, even just within the continent, because the fashion media creates or plays a very big role when it comes to how consumers consume fashion, but also how business is run, within the continent. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I thought that was also a very interesting topic, just to kind of shake our brains and really encourage, fashion entrepreneurs who want to get into that media space to also get into it and really get moving.
And it's important. It's important that you're on this platform. You know, people, I don't know what some people think. They, you know, they just wake up one day and they think, let's take the world by storm. Think again. You know?
Then we spoke about fashion image and styling. Gosh, I can't remember the guest's name. That was also very good. Textile industry. Anyone remember that? With Veba?
Yeah,
that was very good.
I think for me, like, it's just been the depth of experience, like the depth, the richness of the panels that we've had over the year. Like you always like, you go away thinking, oh my God, this was a better show than the last one, because the panelists were always just so good. And it's so refreshing being out here and seeing all that depth in Africa. I was so proud of it, you know?
Yeah. I think that's very cool. And I don't know what's happening, but we will definitely reignite this conversation also with Veba. What I also would, like I say, if I was an outsider listening to Fashion Lab every week, I would actually be so rich in my knowledge, and my journey would be a bit more enriched, because there's conversations that nobody else is having that we actually have here. And I think that is really to kind of show the value and the importance of having this media platforms to be able to share and have these conversations. Africa Fashion Development Initiatives was also a very strong one as well. We had Roberta Annan, we had Alina.
Yes.
We also had, I think we had Alina, Roberta, and somebody else. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But that...
I think what... Yeah, go ahead.
No,
I was going to say, I think like, when you listen, when you're out here, like I'm in New York and I'm listening, and I'm like, it opens up Africa to you. Like, it opens up Africa to me in a way that I never thought. Like, the capabilities, like, just what we have on the ground is just amazing. Like, the people have all these amazing snippets of knowledge that I thought, oh, I want to tell them about all of these things. But when I'm listening to them, I'm like, you know, they already know all these things, you know. So it's really nice, yeah.
Now, I don't know if you guys remember on a lighter note, Art and Fashion with Lubna Ayuche Kombala. So we had, and we also spoke to the Empress, Deanne Regisford, who's my sister-in-law.
Mm.
But that
yes,
Art and Fashion.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes, the Art and Fashion was also a very cool element when it comes to the fashion industry and how artists are actually extending that and actually applying this now onto, or applying it on their fabrics or incorporating it into their fabric design, t-shirts, mm-hmm. and whatever it is. But it's interesting, and that's where we even said fashion is, art is fashion, and fashion is art. Because really, where do you draw the line?
There never is a line. It continues forever.
That was very refreshing, and personally, I would love to see more of that happening in the continent as well. I know that it's happening everywhere else in a bigger way, where a lot of artists are now collaborating with designers. It's also very empowering when you're an artist and a designer at the same time, like Luce, who's doing her own things. So I think let's just say retail industry was also an interesting conversation, and this was more of a glance with Regina Gwynne. And that was very crucial because it was sort of kind of looking at where the retail industry is and where it's going, but from her U.S. perspective, which, like I said, still we still have to understand what's going on the other side of the world. If the retail game is actually flopping there, what makes us think it's going to be any different here? It's just a matter of time, because obviously we're operating a bit behind the schedule, but everything is going to happen the way it happens either way. So I think that was also a good glance of where she started, what she started with, and where all of these big department stores have gone to, what's happened, like how people are now focusing more and honing into the smaller boutiques and the online space. So there's a lot of very rich, empowering information around.
I think for me, there was something else. You know, when we had the topic about arts and fashion, like, it just dawned on me, like, originally fashion was an art, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And then now it's become so commercial that you're struggling to make the bridge between the two, right? Mm. So I was thinking, so that whole conversation, like, got me really thinking, like, when did fashion become more, like, away from arts, you know?
Because it is one and the same thing.
Mm. Yeah, like when did it start? Yeah, when did it start to be so commercial that we lost the arts part of it? And then you think, you know, in Africa, they are still doing it from a very artistic point, you know? Mm. Like, there's a lot less commercial influence just because the corporates are not so active in Africa, you know? Mm. So you think, you know, we may be backwards, but in Africa, fashion actually does enjoy, like, unspoiled freedom, you know?
Yes.
In a sense,
yes.
You know?
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
It did get me thinking about that.
And we remember the natural organic cosmetic industry. Mara, you remember that with
Meze?
Yeah.
Of Mali Cosmetics. That was also very refreshing because we gave, we've also expanded. Fashion is more than just dresses and clothes. And that's what I love about our show is that we actually open up this conversation so wide for everybody to be able to tap into, because the beauty industry coincides with the fashion industry in a way like a yin and a yang that you can't separate the two. But they coexist very nicely together.
Mm. I must just also add on to that, I've obviously been doing some research for the year ahead, and changing lifestyles are driving the global industry care products, which is forecasted to reach by 2017 $265 billion. And then the demand for beauty, specifically organic products, is expected to bring an extra $13 billion in by 2018. So, the fact that people are going natural, it's a real thing. It is happening. The top high-end organic products, your skincare products come first, and then your personal care products, followed by hair and then cosmetic segments. And it's also expected that cosmetics alone, in the organic sort of range, is expected to grow at a rate of 9.9% in 2017. So that is like... We need to start looking at the bigger picture here, ideally, because that's really where the money is. Yeah.
Mm. Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
now,
it's
we also touched on Fashion Weeks as usual, because we are not, we cannot exist without them. But I remember we were so high on New York Fashion Week. We were high on Mercedes-Benz Africa Fashion Week, Johannesburg Fashion Week. We were high on SA Fashion Week. We spoke with Yan Milan. We connected with Lucilla. Then we went back to the New York market, the Bibus, the 3S4s.
Yes.
And it was a very interesting period. And I remember you guys, we almost didn't know what to do during that period, because it was so hard to split ourselves apart, because it was like back to back. It's like now Fashion Week is happening, then Fashion Week, then Fashion Week, then Fashion Week just happened.
You know, and I must say, the most difficult thing for me through that time was, because in Africa we're literally a season behind, it's so difficult to keep up with what's happening in New York, makeup and beauty wise, and then come back here and then go back there and back here and back there. So, but what an amazing experience, and I think all of us were on such a high during that time as well. You know,
And I think that Edgy, and I'll let you also just share that, is the experience we had in New York as well, the respect we had, the coverage that we had was also just on a whole new level. It was just special. And we got to really connect with game players who are playing. You may not have heard of them. If you don't know, Google them for real. Like, I can't tell you anything. Thank God Google's free.
I know.
But yes, but the idea is to be able to just tap into, I mean, we connected with so many different stakeholders in the industry who are doing things in the industry. Some of them are doing them differently. And what's unique is that everybody at the end of the day wants to win. That's the bottom line for everyone. But it's the method that, you know, could be a bit different. It's the so many different concepts. But at the end of the day, all you want to do is make sure that you make good fashion and you're able to sell it affordably. You're able to get a good following. You're able to get people who really enjoy the products, and your products make them really feel great. Edgy, you can also add on to that, because you obviously were all in the
business. Just to go back to what Morag was saying about, like, you know, during, you get to see, like, during Fashion Week, there's this struggle to get the message across, you know? There is the fashion, and then there's the message. So, some designers, they're so bent on their message that they want to, whether it's an environmental message or a social message. So just that whole, you get so totally immersed in everything, you know, that whole Fashion Week thing, like you see where, you know, there are shows where they're showing the clothes. There are shows where it's more intellectual and they're showing more than the clothes. They're showing a message. And it was really cool. I think the respect, like you said, in New York was really, really nice to see that. To the way they opened up to Fashion to Fashion Lab was just, I mean, it surprised me, you know, because we've never been here. And it was great to see.
I think for me, another lesson learned is I wasn't as surprised as you were, because when I grew up, the way I grew up, my parents stopped me, and my dad is specifically, he's like, listen, honey, if you're going to the world, there's lions, you better go there with your spear and your arrow and go and take off. You go, if you're alive in this world. And I was telling some friends, my friend's sister, my friend's son and daughter came to help me yesterday package stuff, because I really was short staffed and I needed help. And I, and one of them plays the drum, one of them plays the guitar, the piano. So I'm asking the piano one, I'm asking Alex, her name is Alex. I said, Alex, how is your piano playing? You know, maybe I should get, you should get together with your auntie here so we can make some gigs. She's like, I only do it for fun. I was like, honey, today's a new day, wake up. Don't waste space in the world. If you're not doing things in to that excellent level, you should really pack your bag and go home. Yes. And I don't know which home, because in this world where we live in, you go big or you go home. And you do it in, do it with so much excellence that nobody can say. It means that if Morag is makeup and you don't have Morag, you almost want to die, because you're like, that's the person I want. So let's not waste space. When we stepped into New York, we stepped in and we took over the territory, because this world is our space. It's our
and
play.
And you know what? When people tell me, oh, I just do something for fun, I'm like, well, then what's the rest of your life? Do you hate doing what you're doing? Why are you not just making money from your fun? You know what I'm saying? And I really feel that on the show, all of us involved with what we do, we're making this our passion, our career, and, you know, we're living off of it. And it's so important. You cannot go through life doing stuff for fun. Every day needs to be fun.
And
know?
Even if you do it for fun, I think the key thing is do it on a level that makes you – nobody has monopoly over any knowledge in this game. However, you do yours to a point where when people mention your name, it's like, yes, that is it or nothing.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
And the truth is, you still need to have fun while you're doing stuff. Just don't waste space in this world. There's no space. People are just, there's no space. There's too much pollution. Just don't waste space and existence.
It's very, very true. Yeah, it's very true. I mean, like in fashion, especially right now with social media and everything, you have so much power to get out there, you know? So you don't actually have to, you may think what you're doing is not great, but you have this exposure to these millions of people through social media that you're going to be surprised. The people who are like-minded like you out there who like what you're doing. So you just go out there and do it, you know.
And that's another thing that I tell my assistants. You know, sometimes they look at me like a head in, a deer in headlights. And I just say to them, just do it. Just do it. You have to just do it. You cannot be asking questions. Just do it, you know. And yeah, that's what happens.
Wow.
And yeah.
So for Africa and the rest of the world who's listening, you cannot be walking in half-stepping. You walk in properly or you go home, because guess what? There's 55,000 of you who want to do what you're doing.
The same thing.
Who may not even have that opportunity. And if you're waiting for the government, now for you, I don't know. We've already spoken about those things. If you're waiting for funding, I don't know who funding is, which bus they were coming on. Maybe the bus didn't arrive. What's your other plans? I think it's about really taking control of what you're doing. Get on your bandwagon and just please drive your car. And like just shut up and drive, like Rihanna says, right? Like shut up and drive. Seriously.
Absolutely.
So, guys, remember the morning after the fashion design competition? I should have not said it all. People are like, morning after. That was also a very interesting topic. And I think that was a reassurance for people who are skeptical about getting into competitions, that, you know, you can get into these competitions because you never know. We sat here with competition winners who have achieved so much more just out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because art is, I mean, fashion, again, it's art and it's so individual. Like, so your designs are your point of view, you know. So nobody has that point of view except you, unless you copied it from someone, you know. But if it's truly your point of view, just go out and showcase it, because you just never know, you know. You just never know.
Guys, remember the diamonds and the fashion as well?
Yes.
With the quality and all the people.
A girl's best friend, of course.
Yeah.
That was a good conversation. And
yeah.
I'm not going to say much about it, but I'm doing something. But I don't want to talk about it. But it's...
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, but it's, you know what it is. Yeah, but you know what, guys? What's cool is that we can get inspired here in our show, talking in the show, and go and in like 6 months be saying, this is my product out of that conversation, because that's what it birthed. So I think that's power to us. I will not kiss and tell, however. Social commerce. Does anyone remember social commerce with Christopher Augustine?
Yes.
That was
he was good, though.
And have you seen what he's doing with FYI Online?
Amazing. He's building.
I haven't followed him.
Follow him now again to just see that boy is on fire.
Yeah, and you know, it's so, and what I love about him, you know, as I'm sure, I don't know if the listeners will remember, but I certainly do, is that he started the hustle by himself. And he
is still on the hustle.
Yeah, he literally, like, he YouTubed how to make a website. I mean, how hilarious. But, and I can totally respect that because, you know, all of us, I didn't just wake up and start doing makeup. You know what I'm saying? I took a very bumpy path to get where I am, and the hustle's real. And I've been, you know, the assistant on a shoot, and I know how it feels, and I can totally respect that, you know. So it's really, and the way that he's helping and developing other people in the industry who might not be so talented, you know, to use their intuition and to use their common sense, it's amazing. So big ups to him.
Big up to him. Big up.
And he was good.
He was good. And like I said, yeah. Also for those of our listeners, including you, Edgy, just touch base. Like sometimes it's just touch base to see where someone is so far. Just touch base on the FYI online and see what Christopher Augustine is doing, because he's amazing. I think he's one of the innovators in this continent.
Yeah, I follow up on, but I haven't checked on that guy, so I'm gonna check on him.
Okay, and then does anyone remember the celebrity endorsements conversation?
Yeah,
with the weather Solange and Sheila.
Yeah, Solange was in my town last week. Wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I saw.
Yes.
Did you manage to meet up with her? No.
No, in his town.
No.
In
the Oh, sorry, I missed the memo there.
Not that town.
Not that town.
She was in Calabar.
Yeah, and, you know, just getting back to that, once again, so important. You know, you can either make the best of it or make the worst of it, really. And I think that if there are brands out there looking for celebrities, just make sure that they resonate with your brand and do a little DIY background search, because sometimes stuff crawls out and then they're on your brand and yeah, dot, 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 dot.
Let's just say, for me, one of the things I took away that I still want to really emphasize on too is don't be a brand endorsement whore. Don't be a don't be the whore. Don't do that. Don't 100%. Do that. You can't have John Peter, like Tyrone and Ken.
Yes.
Just be careful and be selective, because you actually become even stronger and more attractive because you are conserving yourself. Remember, you're a brand too.
Yes.
So when
yes.
you're going with Pep, you've got Mr. Price, you've got Zara, you've got I don't know Virgin Active, you've got who? Mm. We're tired. We're confused.
It's too much.
You've got
it's
Milo.
You know, and I also, you know, with me, Liz, you know, a lot of makeup brands send me their products and they do want to endorse me. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, I don't resonate with your brand. And, you know, for those who know, I am an ambassador for Smashbox, South Africa. And I live, sleep and eat the brand. I love it. And I feel that if you're going to be endorsing a brand, say, for instance, like a Virgin Active or whatever, you cannot be endorsing Virgin Active and you don't
and
go
you
to the
don't
gym.
Even.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't work like that. So you as the endorser or endorsee need to resonate with, you know, with your vision and take it places. And it needs to be a brand that you truly collaborate with for the right reasons as well.
And patience, wait.
It will come.
We've seen these things. They come and fall on your lap. In fact, they don't fall. They lightly just slide in quietly and comfortably. You don't even have to be like, ouch, what was that? So don't run to Milo when you've got something bigger coming. Please.
Yeah. And it's a marriage, you know. I mean, the brand and the designer. And nobody's going to get married to someone that don't feel completely free.
Yes.
Well, the world's different these days, but yeah, you know.
Well, let's take that ideally, right?
Yeah.
But it is ultimately a marriage of you know, like there's a synergy there in what the brand wants and what you want. You know, and then it really works. But it's a very powerful tool, though.
Mm. Yes.
So just to add on to what Edgy is saying, for those who respect the institution of marriage, because obviously some people think you can just marry Ken in the morning and then call him and say it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So this is for very serious people who understand commitment. It's not a joke. It's not the high street. It's very serious.
Definitely a commitment.
Now, do we remember the fashion brand management with Leon Hasbrook, Gilmore T? That was also a very fun show, but also very real when it comes to just brand management. Does anyone remember
that? Yes, 100%. I absolutely love Leon. He is hysterical. And once again, he's true to who he is, which I can really appreciate. So even though he's representing all these amazing brands and doing what he does for them, he's like, listen, this is me, and either you on the train or it's going to leave you behind. Mm. And I think it has left a lot of people behind. So, you know, they're looking back at Leon going, sure, you know, I should have jumped on the wagon. And they didn't. And big ups to him as well for doing what he does in the industry.
Mm. I think being honest in this game and space is crucial. So being honest and understanding who you are. And that's why Leon is a person who will be like, okay, we'll be like, hi, do you want to share your dits? He's like, no, I'm done. And we're closed for business.
And it was so funny. On the show, he was like, literally, I am closed for business. I'm done. I have enough clients. I'm happy. You know, it was really funny. And I mean, who says that? Yeah, who says that? Everyone's like, come. I need more. I need more. You know?
Beautiful. Nice.
He stood
his ground with his legs down. The African fashion curriculum also was quite fresh with Desiree Small. Do you guys remember?
That was so important, though. That was such a great show because it's almost like the reason we have Fashion Lab, you know? Mm-hmm. If we're going to educate and encourage the growth of fashion, it was so rudimentary, like so at the base of everything. And because, I mean, a lot of designers don't go to school, but for those who go to school, I mean, that's the curriculum sets them up, you know?
I thought a lot of designers go to school. Edgy, which world? Is that what's happening in that side of the world?
A lot of people are just so talented, they don't need school. They actually get out of school when they're in fashion school. They are just so good. They just do internships and get out.
Is that what happens in New York? Seriously.
Well, you know, when you're an artist, the fashion schools, they are there to give you structure, you know, but some people, they are just really good at it. They don't have to.
You know, I think it's also with me, you know, I love to say it because it's really something close to my heart that when a aspiring makeup artist comes up to me and says, listen, you're really a role model for me. I feel so like almost speechless. I don't know what to say, you know, because it's not a reality for me yet, you know. I feel, yes, I've done a lot in my career, but I still want to do more, you know. So, you know, and then they always say to me, where did you start? And I didn't go to makeup school. You know, it's just, as I say, like, unfortunately, I was just born with that gift, and I'm using my gift to...
Fortunately.
Yeah, you know, yeah, fortunately. And, you know, yes, I did study special effects, but, you know, in the African market on this continent, there isn't, you know, there isn't an industry for that, to say. So I had to go into beauty makeup, and, you know, and I love it. I love it now. So it's really there are options out there. And I think it's good to have a base. You know, you need discipline in what you do. So school isn't a bad thing. But, yeah, if you're talented, go for it, you know.
It's nice. Yeah. That was very good. That was
I mean, even today, you know, we're listening to Sylvain. I mean, he just picked up the camera and he fell in love with it.
And then Oprah found him.
And the talent was there for people to see, you know. And,
yes.
Yeah.
And lastly, I want us to just also remember the bursaries and grants conversation we had last week with Dr. Judith Lamini and Hert.
Yeah.
Gert
Johan Kutsia.
Okay, there you go. Edgy, can you try and just quickly pronounce that so we get it all right? Three is good.
Hayat.
Okay, no. Okay, let's just... But you know what? You know what? What Gert is doing with Dr. Judy and Dr. Judy is now... The connection is Luminance. Is amazing because they're giving opportunities to a lot of... you know, young creative people who really don't have a way to pay their way up to be able to learn or acquire skills and stuff like that. So I think what they're doing is beautiful. I hope that what they're doing can also ignite something in those other people, including ourselves, to be able to always think about that other person as we continue to climb up the ladder. Mm. I think it's very refreshing. And I think for me, the sense of fulfillment when you give is amazing. And what you get back when you give, don't just go giving Africa because you want to receive. Just do it with a good spirit. It will come back to you. And the sense of fulfillment, I think, will be great. And like I said, I admire what they're doing. I'm not there yet. I'm not able to give anyone that yet, but it's coming. And I think that is our responsibility as fashion industry leaders in this continent, is we have to do that. We have to find a way to put it into our agenda.
We have to. Have to. 100%.
And it's our responsibility.
You know, and I said I would love to offer, you know, not necessarily just a makeup artist or just a hairstylist. You know, I think it's something that, you know, us as Fashion Lab could do. We can make it work, you know.
But I think every stakeholder in the industry who's listening, who's growing, because we are all growing, let's be honest.
Yes. Yeah.
We are blessed for that. We're not stagnant. Every time I speak to Morag, every time I check with Edgy, every time I check with a lot of people in my circle, there is more growth, there is more success. So I think that as we grow, just consciously, we have to put it into our agenda.
And I also don't like to see people struggling. I'm just like, why? Don't make life difficult for yourself, you know. And I genuinely like helping people, but they need to put in the commitment as well. I cannot give any. You know,
like right now, I'm having like this amazing thing because there's a Ghanaian girl who is studying fashion marketing. She's doing her MBA, and she's interning with me, and it's just so amazing. Like I get this wonderful feeling just seeing her understand the industry a little bit, learning a little bit about it, and I'm thinking, it's so nice. I mean, what if I could just have her work with me, and how enriching that would be, like one more African who knows about the industry and is active in the industry, you know, at a level that is helpful, you know. So, yeah, we can. I mean, there's a lot that we can do. And Fashion Lab itself has so much that it can do. And I think we're doing a lot with just the conversations, you know. I think these conversations have been helpful to people. And as we continue to add all these other things that we want to add, whether it's conferences, internships, incubation programs, I think we are going to do a lot. I see us doing a lot in the coming years for fashion in Africa.
Mm. You know, thank you guys. So I want to just quickly, before we roll over to Morag, who's going to give us a top 10 of her 2016 when it comes to looks, whatever it's going to be. Mm-hmm. I would like, maybe I'll start with Edgy and then get to Morag, and then I will go last. But I just need you to share with our listeners three of your highlights, personal achievements or highlights that you would say you've been able to achieve this year. And I think for me, we don't really sit down and talk about us on this show. We normally want to talk to people about what they're doing and what we can do collectively or collaboratively in this game. But I still think that as your hosts, as people that speak to you and connect with you on a weekly basis, for this 52 weeks, again, for this year, it's been a long year. It's been a beautiful year. But I'd love to just touch base on some of our you know, just to listen and touch base on some of our achievements or our highlights this year personally. So, Edgy, we'll start with you. I just need your top three.
I think my top three would have to be early this year, around February, we finished the first African designer who came to New York to intern. And she was attached with a couple of really big designers here. And she's gone back now, and I saw her last collection, and you could see how it reflects the knowledge that she picked up. So that made me feel so good. And I would say second to that was just being involved with Fashion Lab has been a big highlight for me this year. Just I think it has given me this opportunity to even look inside of myself and say, you know what, I know a few things that I can share. And I, you know, it's this wonderful group of people that I'm able to work with and talk to every day. And it's just been so enriching for me, and it's so validating in terms of what we know and what we can all bring. Mm-hmm. So that has been a major highlight. And then the other has just been my personal growth in with the business, with developing ideas for designers. And I have a particular project that I really, really love. I mean, the denim project with Liz was so cool because it allowed Liz to see what I do and to validate when I say we develop ideas, we can manufacture ideas, and we can, you know, help African designers to offer a product that is competitive across the world. And so that was a big project for me because it's like coming home. So it was a big highlight for me.
Wow, thank you, Edgy. Maura, can we just have your three highlights, also at least your top three highlights this year?
You know, I'm actually sitting here and I'm almost feeling like a bit emotional because I've just done, like, you know how the Matrix is, and my God, there's so much that's happened this year. But I think for me, the first thing would be, I'm literally going to put it on my CV, is I'm going to put there a bullet point and then say, I got through 2016. It was a rough year, a lot of work, a lot of ups and downs, and also a very karmatic year, I felt. You know, it was crazy. You know, one thing you're up there, then the next thing you rock bottom in bed, and then you're up again. So I think for me, just to get through the year has been amazing. But besides that, a lot has happened. I think for me, my top three, Liz, would obviously be, you know, the being a part of Fashion Lab Africa, and obviously having the radio platform, and then also it was my year of being endorsed, which I've said no to a lot of brands for years, and as you were saying earlier on the show, you know, these two just fell into my lap and I literally couldn't say no because I resonate so well with the brands, and that's GHD South Africa and Smashbox South Africa. And then I would say my next a big thing, and a really, you know, a project that was very close to my heart, we worked on it for 5 years, and that was to do the special effects makeup for Allison, the movie. So it's an award-winning film. It was broadcast worldwide. So yeah, I think those would be my top three for the year. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more. I can't even think now. There's just so much going on in my head. But no. My God, you know, it's just, and also I must just say, Liz, especially to you for, you know, those 2 o'clock in the morning phone calls where we just talk nonsense for hours. And, you know, and also to my clients who are listening, you know who you are, you know, thank you for being an inspiration and keeping me going. And I think, you know, between the three of us, we really on the show, we do keep each other going, you know. So, yeah, those would be my highlights.
Wow. So now I will just give my highlights as well. Like I said, I'm also, my mind is racing and I don't even know if I have the capacity to really, my mind is racing like on the wrong day.
You don't know
time.
What to say, yes. Because there's just so much. Yes.
But I think for sure, I'll just first of all say generally on a health note, this has been my lowest year. I think I've spent half the year in hospital.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't even know that. I mean, except obviously when you guys know I'm not available and stuff.
Well, I mean, so, you and me both, Liz. You know, we both had surgeries this year, so but we got through. We got through.
So for me, I think the one thing I do want to just be grateful for is life. And the fact that I can be lying in bed for 6 weeks or 7 weeks straight and get up and run like a donkey. I mean, like, I'm like a soldier in, like, I don't know, like in the Zion army. I don't know. But I'm just so grateful that I have energy, I have drive, I have consistency, I am high on life, I've got passion, I've got that zest. I am so on a whole different level. And I think that also what happens is when you're down for so long and sick, there's a new sort of energy that reignites everything in your body. You're like literally like flying. You yes. become literally. But anyway, I think for me, genuinely, I just want to be grateful for life and the fact that I'm still running and nothing put me down, like not even sickness. Mm-hmm. When we were sick, sick, mm-hmm. and then you finish and then you get up and then you keep going. And then obviously yes. for me, I also want to be another achievement for this year for me, which is definitely on the top of my list, is just being able to see Fashion Lab blossom a whole year of just blossoming. And like I said, I am not afraid of patience and time. I don't mind. I can wait. I'm not 22 anymore. So I'm very happy to wait on something and let it naturally just blossom and grow yes. into what it needs to become without rushing it. I'm very mature, I'm very grown, and I'm at a stage where I'm happy to do that. So I love the fact that we've had Mora contribute, we've had Edge's contributions, we've had Komotso, who's also, for those who are listening, Komotso is she's my assistant, but she helps a lot in a way that you don't even understand, and she's also really worked herself up so many notches up. If you look at what happened in January, what's happening right now, she runs our social media, she runs all the a lot of back end stuff, really. So we want to appreciate her as well. So for me, I think the second highlight is just to appreciate, because for me, I always say that if you have a plan and you're building and you don't have the right builders, or you don't have the right tools, or you don't have the right energy around you, you know, your building is in vain, right? So for me, my thing is, I just want to be grateful for the people around me. My husband is such a big, oh my God, he's just a blessing. So I don't talk about him much, but he knows and he understands. Getting us to the level where we wake up and decide we're going to New York, and we run, in like, I think a period of 6 weeks, we ran 30 interviews, proper interviews with like hem de la creme of who we really wanted to connect with between the New York, Africa, and that just was amazing. In the New Year, we're going to share something. I will not tell you today, but it's another highlight. I will not talk about it today, but we are on a whole new level, on a whole new platform in January. We've got a TV platform, and we're going to be doing fun things on that as well. So I think for me, my journey generally of just being in good health, being in the right space, and having the right people when it comes to a support system is just like a whole new level thing. That's whole new level things. And the denim line Edgy, I really appreciate your, you know, when we connected and she's like this, I said, you know what, before we do anything for any other designer or brand in the continent, why don't we start with, I want to collaborate with Edgy. Why don't we start on that level? See what happens to this and see where it goes. So for those who are interested in understanding more about my denim line, go to www.lizogumbo.com, and that is where you will get the showdown. Otherwise, I'm just grateful for life. I'm grateful for the fact that we have the right energy, and I'm grateful that the best is yet to come. I just want to now put that on pause and roll over to Morag for our top 10 of 2016, her top 10. What is it, Morag? What are you?
Gosh, we've gone on to a whole other level now. You know, I just want to, I'm not going to retell everyone, you know, what my favorite lipsticks of the year is or anything, but a very interesting find that I found was actually the top 10 most popular lipstick brands in the world of 2016. So I'm just going to quickly run through it. I thought it's just really interesting, and it's completely not what you would expect. You know, I mean, there's obviously researchers like, you know, doing market research and that. So just a quick recap. Number 10 is Guerlain. And this brand has been around since 1828. And then we've got NARS at number 9, which is rated the most trusted lipstick brand in the world. MAC at number 8, strangely enough, considered to be luxurious and one of the best cosmetic brands in the world, known for its wide range of lipsticks on offer. I know they've got about 6 different lipstick textures. And I mean, I literally have every single one. I don't know which makeup artist doesn't. Number 7, we've got Sonia Kashuk, and it's a deluxe brand, and it actually has a cooling effect on the lips all year round. So your lips literally never get dry, which obviously stops, you know, the chapping and that sort of thing while wearing lipstick. And then at number 6, we've got Lancôme, which was founded in 1964 and has actually always been known as the sign of eternal femininity. And on the market today, it's one of the most famous brands in the world. Number 5, we've got Estee Lauder, which obviously we all know was founded by Estee Lauder. And it's really a brand that I think everyone knows. I don't know someone who doesn't know, oh, I need to get my Lauder, you know. And it's also, it became famous for its lipstick, actually. And then at number 4, we've got Dior, which is one of my favorites. And it's obviously, Dior is a brand that's best known from the runway, but the makeup brand was actually founded in 1964, and they really meet the natural texture of the lips, which, you know, separates them from other brands. At number three, we've got Bobbi Brown, which is famous for being rich in vitamin E and C. The size of the lipstick bullet is very different to other lipsticks, so it's a little bit smaller. And for a lipstick fanatic, I think you need to have a Bobbi Brown lipstick. Otherwise, you don't know your lipsticks, you know. And then number two, which I was very surprised, is Makeup Forever. So the founder, Danny Sands, who was actually once a painter and a sculptor, just suddenly decided to go into lipstick, and now he's number two in the world. I mean, how it's just crazy how things work out. And actually, besides it being one of the most dominating brands in lipsticks, all the lipsticks actually have a wet look, which ensures that your lips are always moisturized, even though it may be a matte texture. So they really, you know, they got that right. And then number one, Liz, I wonder if you can guess what it is.
I don't know. Okay.
It's going to shock you.
Don't shock me.
It is. No.
Okay, what is it?
Number one is Chanel.
Okay, no, that's not
Chanel.
It's okay.
And Chanel has actually been, for the past 7 years, the top-selling lipstick in the world. Yeah, crazy. Obviously, the brand is famous for the couture on the runways, but lipsticks are the lipsticks are magnificent. If you haven't tried a Chanel, you need to get one. It might burn a little hole in your pocket, but it's absolutely. I mean, you can feel when you're wearing a Chanel, you know you're wearing a Chanel. And also, that brings me to the lipstick color of the year, actually, for 2016. And I am lucky enough to have a Chanel lipstick. It was a gift from my mom 2 years ago. And
gosh,
I still have
did it. Did
it
not expire?
You know what? It depends. But for me, it's more of a... It's just something that I don't use. You know what I mean? It's there. Yeah, it's there. And that is, it's one of the handful shades of Coco Chanel's signature part. And the color is called Chanel Rouge Allure. It's an intense long wear lip color in the shade Pirate. And it's a very beautiful engine red. And yeah, I'll post this link as well.
I think I have that Chanel Rouge
as
well.
It's the most beautiful. It's the first lipstick color that they've kept. It's like Chanel No. 5.
Uh-huh.
It's the original red from the whole Chanel collection. So it's really, it's one of those things every woman should have. And then just other highlights, I will do a reshare on all my social media platforms of the year. There's just so many, Liz. You know, once again, I can't even think of what my favorite was because there's so many trends. And, you know, fashion is a crazy world. Once it's found something, it carries on. You know, it keeps roaming, looking for the next best thing. So I think it would be a little bit selfish of me to say there was a favorite because there's just tomorrow it's another story. You know, tomorrow I've got a new favorite, or in an hour I've got a new favorite. So, yeah.
Wow. Thank you, Morak.
Pleasure.
And for the lip stars who love their lipsticks, I hope you're inspired.
I must just show you this. I will post it, but can you see?
Wow.
Like, I have a Tupperware of lipsticks next to me.
We'll take a picture of that and tweet it just now. Now, for our listeners who are tuned in, we'd love to hear from you. We're on Fashion Lab AF. We are also on www.fashionlabafrica.com for more updates around what we are doing. As we were talking highlights, I just realized that me and my bae right here, Morag, also came up with a concept called Lipstick Skirt Heels and Wine about 3 or 4 months ago.
And
what we do is we actually sat down and we thought we'll do it, and we started doing, and that's how you start your engine, and then you keep driving and you keep moving. And so this is a beautiful simple concept. The website for that is lipstickskirtsheelswine.com. If you want to be a part of it, if you want to contribute onto it, whatever you want to do, reach out to us, let us know. But it's a very fun simple concept. We're not saving the world, we're literally putting on heels. I'm bringing in the skirts, Catrice and Cosmetics bringing in the lipstick, and Morag bringing in her 2 cents on what you should do and what you should not do. Le faux et le faux pas. C'est ça.
There we go.
So guys, have a beautiful, beautiful Christmas, holiday time. For those of you who don't know what you're doing yet, you know, you can just go and just rest, whatever. Think about what you want to do next year and get on it as soon as it comes to clarity. Otherwise, take care of yourselves. Do not drink and drive. Please
Uber.
Please, responsible. And please, I mean, drink your wine, drink everything. Yeah. Just don't drive.
If you lost your phone and you can't Uber, just walk. Don't even get in your car.
Guys, be cool. It's lots of love from
lots
us.
Lots and lots of love.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays, guys.
Yes, from the Fashion Lab team. And we look forward to reconnecting again next year. Take care. Peace.
Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.